The topic of Hilchos Chol Moed is a very vast topic. What I hope to do with you today is simply get oriented so you understand a little bit about the, first of all, the basic concepts and where you can find them. If you were to look in the first parak and second parak of Moed Katan, you'll find much of Hilchos Chol Moed. If you look in the Rambam at the end of Perek Vav Hilchos Yontif, and also the Prakim that follows Zayin and Ches, that's where you find Hilchos Chol Moed in the Rambam. In Shulchan Aruch, it's Orach Chaim, Simanim Taf Kuf Lamed through Taf Kuf Mem Ches. It's the beginning of the sixth Chelag of Mishneh Berurah, Hilchos Chol Moed. If you were to look in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, it's the end of Chelag Beis, beginning Perek Samach Vav through Samach Ches, which is the end of the Sefer. Now, there are many Sifrei Likut that deal with Hilchos Chol Moed, with all the Pratim. In English, there's the famous book by Rabbi Zucker and Rabbi Francis, which came out, which is excellent. There are many other Sfarim as well. I'm looking at one right here, Shmiras HaMoed Kilchaso, Dini Chol Moed, which I found very helpful. There are many other Sfarim as well that are available that go through literally detail after detail. Just to speak in general terms, people make a mistake. The average person sometimes think that Chol Moed doesn't have any special halachos. It's a chol. It's a weekday. You have the first day and the last day of Yontif, and then it's a weekday, which is just that. And in certain respects, obviously, Chol Moed, we call it Chol HaMoed, because relative to the first day of the Chag and the last day of the Chag, so it's chol. We make Havdalah, Motzei Yom Tov Rishon. And if you look in the Psukim in the Kriyas HaTorah of Yontif, so the Torah writes Mikra Kodesh explicitly regarding the day that's Asa B'Melacha. We talk about the first day, B'Yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, on Pesach B'Yom HaShvi Mikra Kodesh. It doesn't say explicitly Mikra Kodesh with regard to Chol HaMoed. When we say Havdalah, as we noted, we say Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. When we daven during Chol HaMoed, Ma'ariv, Shachris, Mincha, we daven Tefillas Chol, we add Yalav Yavo. So obviously, in that respect, the Kedusha of Chol Moed is considered Chol relative to Moed. On the other hand, there is a mitzvah of Simcha throughout the Regel. The mitzvah of Simcha is the entire Yontif, including Chol Moed. The Yisr Hesved B'Tainis, which exists based on that, exists in Chol Moed as well. When we say Simcha, of course, it also has specific inyanim, such as drinking wine and eating meat, which one should try to do every day of Yontif. And Simcha, of course, has a broader meaning, which is to be happy and be sameach and do things that make you feel good. So that's also obviously related to Chol Moed as well as the rest of Yontif. After the Torah goes through the cycle of the Moadim, even though it doesn't say Mikra Kodesh explicitly regarding Chol Moed, there is a pasuk that seems to refer to everything. It says, Ela Moed Hashem, Asher Tikro Sam Mikra E Kodesh. And one of the drushes that we'll soon see about Melacha B'Chol HaMoed, that's Rabbi Akiva's drusha, looks at that pasuk and says, you see that Chol HaMoed is also called Mikra Kodesh. And that means, what does Mikra Kodesh mean? It means, the Chazal tell us, Katsheo B'Macho V'Mishta. That means in the way that you eat and drink, and B'Ksus Nikia, in the way that you dress. So there's a specific drusha in the Mechilta that relates that idea of Mikra Kodesh to Chol HaMoed as well. The Mishneh Berurah, in the beginning of Hilchos Chol Moed, quotes from the Magen Avraham, who quotes from an early Sefer, the Rishonim, Sefer Tanya, that's one of the Rishonim, that you should mechavit Chol HaMoed with these ideas that go into Mikra Kodesh, and the Maharil wore a special beged on Chol HaMoed. The Hasidim generally wear the Shtremlich on Chol HaMoed. However, does that mean you have to wear the nicest begadim, the same level of Big Day Shabbos and Big Day Yontif? That should be Chol HaMoed dress. So the Shaar HaTzion on the bottom of the Mishneh Berurah says that it's a middle ground. It should be more chashuv than the gadim you wear during the week on a regular day of Chol. But it doesn't have to be as chashuv as Big Day Shabbos, Big Day Yontif. So, I mean, it could be, but it need not be to that extent. Again, something people don't realize. People wear, you know, very casual clothing Chol HaMoed. It's not appropriate. One should be mechabit it in Mikra Kodesh with Ksus Nikiyah and so on. Even in terms of the meals, you're not mechuyev to wash and eat pas on Chol HaMoed. That's why if you forget Yalav Yavo, you won't have to repeat the benching. However, there's an inyan to have a suda if you wash. Obviously, that shows more covered for the yantif. And you should try whatever possible way to, obviously, to show a certain chashivas to the moed. So that's by way of introduction. Someone had a quick question.
Yeah, so we wear like pretty much the same. We don't close every day. So how would we, if you're not wearing a suit,
Then you could wear a suit. Look, if it's a question of wearing casual or wearing a suit, then you should wear the suit. Even though there's no reason why you can't wear the same suit that you wear on Shabbos and Chol Moed. It means that you don't have to upgrade it to that extent. I don't know. I don't think so. I wouldn't think so. I didn't see it explicitly, but I would say if the alternative is you're going to be wearing something which is exactly what you wear during the week, I think that if it's a question of that or Big Day Shabbos, you should wear Big Day Shabbos. If you have something in between, if you would wear, let's say, a white shirt on Shabbos and not a colored shirt, so you can wear a nice, clean, freshly pressed blue shirt on Chol Moed. That would be an example. But again, it should be something that would be a step up from during the week. The inyan of Tefillin b'Chol Moed, we'll see soon about more of the issue there. That has other variables that go into that issue. It's not as simple as it might say, well, is it Chol, is it Moed? That has to do, to some extent, with the inyan of Issa Melacha, which we'll get to. Chazal make a point of stressing the need to respect Chol HaMoed, not to be mevazeh Chol HaMoed. Obviously, to the extent that there is an issue today that people are unaware of the Kedusha of Chol HaMoed, this is something that goes back even to the time of Chazal. There are numerous Mamre Chazal that seem to highlight this. For a couple of examples, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, HaMachalo Es HaKadoshim, this is a paragimel, HaMachalo Es HaKadoshim, Mamvazeh Es HaMoados, Ein Lo Chelek LaOlam Haba. That's very strong language. And what does it mean? Mevazeh es hamoados. The Bartanura quotes, the pshat is Chol HaMoed. Oseh behen melacha. In one way, it's going to be mevazeh through melacha. We'll see about melacha b'Chol HaMoed. But he continues, O noig behen minig chol b'achila ushtia. You don't show any chashivas in terms of the way that you enjoy your meals on Chol HaMoed. It's literally the same as a weekday. Rabbeinu Yonah says that you see we're talking about Chol HaMoed because of the language mevazeh es hamoados as opposed to mechalel es hamoados. So we're not referring to the Yantif, we're referring to Chol HaMoed. There's another Gemara in Pesachim, in Arvi Pesachim, Kuf Yud Ches, in Pesachim, Rav Sheshes, Mishum Lez Ben Azariah, Kol HaMevazeh es hamoados, the same Lashon, Ki Ilu Obeid Avodah Zarah. How do we know that? Shenemar Elohei Masecha Lo Sasalach, it's in Parshas Kisisa. And it says right after that pasuk, as Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, and as we'll soon see, one of the sources for Melacha b'Chol HaMoed being Aser is the pasuk as Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, followed by Shivas Yamin, which means that all 7 days there's a halacha of not to do Melacha. It says right before that, Elohei Masecha Lo Sasalach, so that means that in a certain way, it's Ki'il Ovid Avodah Zarah. How to explain it, that's already another discussion. But clearly, at the very least, you see that Chazal took the matter very seriously. So let's talk about Melacha b'Chol HaMoed. This is, of course, the main issue to focus on. What is the nature of Melacha b'Chol HaMoed? First of all, is it an Issur d'Oraisa? Is it an Issur d'Rabbanan? What are some of the guidelines? So there's a sugya in Chagiga. Again, I'd like to just give you a lot of the Maamar Kamos so that hopefully Yishma Chacham Yosef Lekach, you'll be able to go back to this on your own. So the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches brings 5 drashos to show that there's an Issur Melacha b'Chol HaMoed. I just mentioned them very quickly. The first drasha was, we just alluded to it, as Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yamin. That pasuk is in Kisisa. It's also in Mishpatim, but most likely the Gemara has in mind the pasuk in Kisisa because that's where Elohei Masecha Lo Sasalach appears, which was the juxtaposition that we mentioned before. That's pointed out by the Torah Tamima. So what do you see? As Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yamin, this is referring to, therefore, Pesach, that there's a halacha of Tishmor, which would mean Malacha, it's a Malacha Shivas Yamin, not just on day 1 and day 7, but all 7 days. A second Rasha is Rav Yonasan, it's a Kavah Chomer, he says, Rishon and Shavi are Asa B'Malacha, and they don't have necessarily Issa Malacha before and after, they're not sandwiched in between days of Issa Malacha, and Chol HaMoed has before and after days of Issa Melacha, so that was his Kavah Chomer. A third Rasha is Yossi Aglili. This is a pasuk relating to Sukkis. Kol Melechas Avoda Lo Sasu, referring to Sukkis. Pashas Emor, Shivas Yamin. Takrivu Isha Lashem, Vayom HaShmini, and so is Shmini Atzeres. So you have Kol Melechas Avoda Lo Sasu, Shivas Yamin, a Rasha that the Issa Melacha is for all 7 days. The fourth Rasha is alluded to, we mentioned before, alluded to it, Rabbi Akiva. Ela Moed Hashem, Shetikro Sam Mikra Ikodesh. So all 7 days have something in common to all Mikra Kodesh, which for this purposes means Issa Malacha. Now within all these four drashas, you have no indication yet that there's any difference between the nature of Malacha Chol Moed and the nature of Malacha any other day like Shabbos or Yontif. But then you have the fifth drasha. The pasuk says Sheshes Yom Parshas Re'ei Sheshes Yom Tochal Matzos Uvayom Hashvi Ad Feras Hashem El Kechal Osasa Malacha. So the simple pasuk is saying, simply the pasuk is saying, 6 days you eat matzah, and the seventh day atzeres, which is isa malacha. But since it says uvash yom hashvi atzeres, and the seventh day is an isa malacha, so the vav brings that isa malacha back to the 6 days as well. So we say that just like the seventh day is atzeres and is an isa malacha, so to the 6 days prior. And then on this, the Gemara continues and says, so you might think that just like on Shvi, or Atzur b'chol malacha, that there's an Isser for every type of malacha, so to the 6 days. So we say, no, Uva Yom HaShvi Atzeres, the seventh day stands apart from the 6 days, or at least from all of the 6 days. So therefore we say, HaShvi Atzur b'chol malacha, and the 6 days before it don't necessarily have the same extent of Isser malacha. And the Gemara concludes with the following very important words, Halo Misaran HaKasuv, the pasuk hands it over to the rabbis. They're going to tell you. They're going to tell you, number one, Eze Yom Aser, Eze Yom Mutter. Rashi takes that to mean, based on the calendar, they can tell you when Yontif starts, and then you know which is the first day, which is Chol Moed, and then you know which days to observe. Furthermore, they will tell you, Eze Malacha Sura, Eze Malacha Muteris. So now you have an indication in the Gemara that it's not as simple as it sounds. It's not like every Malacha that we say is Aser Bayantif, is Aser Chol Moed. The Chachamim are the ones who determine, who are Koveya, Eza Malacha Asura, Eza Muteris, which means what? So Rashi brings us here to one of the main Klalim of Issa Malacha, having to do with what's called Dabar Ha'aved. One of the main criteria in terms of Issa Malacha is that what is considered Dabar Ha'aved, which means that there'll be a monetary loss if you don't do it, is permitted on Chol Moed. But here we have to deal with a very important question, a major machlokes rishonim. When you read this Gemara, you get the impression that Issa Malacha b'chol moed, when it's Asr, it's Asr midoraisa. And that's how some rishonim seem to assume. Tosos here on the spot in Chagiga makes a big deal of proving that Issa Malacha b'chol moed is not deoraisa. He brings what appears to be the Rashbam's shita, that there's an Issa Malacha midoraisa. Tosfos has many kashas. For example, among the kashas, he has, how many aliyahs do we have in Chol Moed? Four, which is similar to Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says that, what do they have in common? It's Karban Musaf day, but there's no status of Yontif in terms of Issa Malacha, just like Rosh Chodesh. When it gets to Yontif proper, we have five aliyahs, because now you have Issa Malacha beyond Chol Moed Rosh Chodesh, then you have Yom Kippur, which is six, and then Shabbos, which is seven. Tosfos has other rayas as well, that Issa Malacha b'Chol Moed would not be deoraisa. And what about these drushes that we mentioned in the Gemara? They're all nasmachta. And this is Shitas HaRash, this is Shitas HaTur, this is many Rishonim that assume that Issa Malacha b'Chol Moed, even when it's Aser, it's only derabanan. The Chinuch, who disagrees in Mitzvah Shin Chav Gimel, he says that the Rambam apparently also held this way. Most of the Mefarshim assume that the Rambam also holds Issa Malacha b'chol moed is derabbanan. However, there are a whole seru of Rishonim who clearly hold Issa Malacha is deoraisa b'chol moed. If you look in the Bir Halacha, in the beginning of Taf Kof Lamed, the first siman of Hilchos Chol Moed, he brings, I think, 12 shitas on each side to try to show you that it's not a simple matter at all. It's not as if you have a strong consensus on one side or the other. There could be real nafkaminas, he says, if you have a question of a suffik malacha, or a suffik, you know, whether it is a malacha or not, suffik rabbanan is ukula, suffik daraisa l'chumra, also what's called amira la'akum, b'mokam mitzvah. So the halacha is, if you ask a guy to do a malacha for you, if the malacha he's doing is a malacha d'rabbanan, and Amir al-Akam is also Drabbanan, and the purpose is for a mitzvah. We call that Shvus, the Shvus b'Mokam Mitzvah, which is permitted. But if the malacha the guy is doing is deraisa, then you don't have the heter of shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. So now you have to know, in terms of amir la'akum, on yisuri malacha b'chol ha'moed, whether that would be called shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, depending on whether, if the malacha that he's doing is a deraisa, but if malacha b'chol ha'moed is rabban, then you have shvus to shvus, because by even after being a malacha deraisa, it's only after drabbanan. So that would be another nafkamina that the Bir Halacha mentions. And it's hard to know exactly how one should paskin. We should mention, though, Ashita of the Ramban, which is sort of a compromise. He says it depends what we're dealing with. We're going to talk about the various klalim of Malacha B'chol HaMoed. So one of the klalim has to do with Tzorach HaMoed versus what's not with Tzorach HaMoed. So according to the Ramban has an essay in Hilchos Chol HaMoed and Masechta Moed Katan, which is worth going through. So the Ramban's Shita is that any time it's being done with Tzorach HaMoed, then it's not Asa Do'oraisa. Shelo with Tzorach HaMoed, he concedes could be Do'oraisa. With Tzorach HaMoed, even if there are certain restrictions that might exist on Malacha Seg with Tzorach HaMoed, as we'll see, whether it's a Maisa Uman or other things, keeping Malacha LaMoed and the like, so if you're doing something which is a Tzorach HaMoed, but it's not going to be permitted based on some other consideration, again, like Maisa Uman, it's a professional look, and it takes a professional to do it, that would not be Doraisa. Once you're getting to Tzorach HaMoed, it's not also Doraisa. But the Ramban concedes that if it's lower Tzorach HaMoed, that would be Doraisa. So it's sort of a middle position. There's major discussion, some achronim, if you say it's Malacha Doraisa, so does that mean that it could be Malkus? If you do Malacha on Yantif, there's Malkus. They're not Mises Beis means on Shabbos, but on Yantif it's Malkus. So there's a lot of pulpulim about this. The Navi Yehuda says clearly there's no Malkus. Minchas Chinuch says it might depend on what the drasha is. If the drasha is from Tishmor, that's a lav. If it's a Kavah Chomer, ein Onshin Min Adin. And others push back and say, no, nobody would hold it that there'll be Malkus. And we'll see perhaps why that could be. I mentioned before the issue of Tefillin B'chol HaMoed. One of the very important variables that goes into the question of whether you should wear Tefillin B'chol HaMoed is the following. Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif? So there are different drushas that could dictate why you wouldn't wear tefillin. One drusha is that it says in the Torah, "V'hayi l'chala osa yadcha." Tefillin is called an os. So we darshin, when the Tanaim darshin, it's mishat tzvichim os. If you need an os, then you need to wear tefillin. But if the day itself is an os, such as Shabbos, which is called an os, and Yontif is an os as well, we'll see why. So then there's no need to wear tefillin, and you should not wear tefillin. So that's one possible reason why we don't want to fill Shabbos and Yontif. There may be other drushas. But if you go with that drusha, now you have to ask yourself, what is the oath of Yontif? And what is the oath of Shabbos? How do you define the oath? So now you could possibly define the oath in terms of Issa Malach. And if you do, now you have to ask yourself, what about Chol HaMoed? So if the Issa Malach is what defines the oath, which excludes Shabbos and Yontif from wearing tefillin, and you say that Issa Malacha B'chol HaMoed is Doraisa, then it would come out, you should not wear tefillin B'chol HaMoed. But if you hold, like Shita Satosus and those who've shown him that Issa Malacha B'chol HaMoed is only Drabbanan, and you understand that the oath that excludes Shabbos and Yantif from tefillin is the oath of Issa Malacha, then it should come out that you wear tefillin B'chol HaMoed. So this is one stat in Tosus. Tosus discusses this issue in numerous places, Yugin Irvin Sarivav, and Moed Katan Yutess, that considers the possibility that Chol HaMoed should be Chayev B'Tfilin because Issa Malacha is only Drabbanan, so it doesn't have the oath of Yantif. But the reason why Tosus could reject this, if you look there, you'll see, because maybe the oath of, let's say, Pesach and Sukkot is not the oath of Issa Malacha. It's the oath associated with the mitzvah Sachag, such as Matzah on Pesach, Isser Chametz and mitzvah Matzah. Kiyu mitzvah matzah for the gra, or Issa Chametz, which is for sure no egg all days of Pesach, or the mitzvah of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Lulav, which of course applies Chol HaMoed as well as the first days and the last. So therefore, it should come out that there'll be no tefillin Chol HaMoed regardless, even if Issa Malacha is Rabbanan. So this is another inyan that could be impacted by the question of Issa Malacha b'Chol HaMoed. One of the makoros that Tosus brings in Chagiga Yudches to prove his shita, that Issa Malacha B'chol HaMoed is Odrabanan, is a lashon of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Klum asru b'malacha, ela kidei shi'ochin v'shosin v'yigein v'torah. Did they not ask a malacha only because we wanted that the Jews to be able to enjoy the yantif, to eat and to drink, and to be osik b'torah. So Tosfos says, kulam asru, sounds like, who asered? The Rabbanan asered. So it must be, it's only asered Rabbanan. What do the other Rishonim respond to this? They'll say, well, look at the very Gemara. The Gemara also says, masum nakasav l'chachamim. So obviously, even if you hold d'oraisa, which are these drushes are legitimate drushes, but clearly the Chacham have a say in defining the Torah gave the Chacham the authority to spell out explicitly what exactly goes into the Issa d'oraisa. So to the extent that the Chacham are the ones who are going to inform us as to what they feel the Torah would aser, therefore the Lashon Kulam Asru is patterned after that as well. The concept of Masonic Chacham is itself very, very interesting. The fact that it could be a Doraisa, but the Chacham are the ones who the Torah relied on to explicitly flesh out what the Torah had in mind. That's also quite a striking formulation. You have it in different places, that idea. But again, it could be that bottom line, it becomes an Issa Doraisa, just a Chacham are the ones who identify the nature of the Issa. But what is quite interesting is the fact that the Yerushalmi says, why did they aser, whoever asered, kidei shi'u ochem v'shosim v'gein v'torah. So this is really a window into understanding what makes Issa Melacha b'chol mo'ed very unique, whether it be the Raisa, whether it be the Rabbana. That whereas when it comes to, let's say, Shabbos and Yontif, strictly speaking, Issa Melacha is self-defining. The Issa Melacha, you don't have to give rationales. It's simply, the Torah says, Melacha is aser. Comes to Chol HaMoed, you see that it doesn't stop at that. The Issa Melacha has a larger context. It has to do with the idea of trying to promote a certain agenda, to be able to advance that agenda, that people will be able to enjoy the Chag, they won't be upset, and they'll be able to put their focus on what we want them to focus on, to enjoy the Chag and to learn Torah. And to that end, there's an Issa Melacha. Based on this, so there are Achronim that say that even though the Rambam sounds like it's an Isser Drabanan, one could really read the Rambam as an Isser Doraisa, not like the Chinuch assumes in the Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam has a very interesting lashon when he discusses Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and also very much ties into this to this idea. The Rambam talks about the fact that it's a Yom Chagiga, the Migdash. He writes in Perek Zayin, Cholish HaMoed Api Shalonema Bo Shabbason Ho B'Nikrim Mekokodesh Harei Uzman Chagiga B'Migdash Aser Basiyas Melacha. And he continues and says, Kidei Shelo Yiyah Kishar Yemei HaChol She'en Behen Kedusha Klal. That's the language around the beginning of Perek Zayin. So he adds the fact that it's Aser Basiyas Melacha Kidei Shelo Yiyah Kishar Yemei HaChol She'en Behen Kedusha, in order to accentuate that Chol HaMoed stands apart from the regular weekdays the rest of the year. Goes on and says that if you do malacha, makanos and makas mardus, neshe isur midivrei sofrim. And that's perhaps why many assume the Rambam holds it only drabanan. But as pointed out by the Karen Ora in the beginning of Moed Katan and Moshe Sternbach in Modem Zmanim, divrei sofrim for the Rambam doesn't always have to mean drabanan. The Rambam has his own unique, particular language. And a lot of times, divrei sofrim just means if it's a drasha, that's called divrei sofrim, even though it could be a doraisa. The fact that it's not going to be Malkus Doraisa could also be tied into the fact that even if it's an Aser Doraisa, but because the Melacha is not Aser Kua Melacha, it's only part of a larger agenda, a larger atmosphere, so that could be why you don't have the Iser being one of Malkus. But at the end of the day, maybe the Rambam would agree that it's an Iser Doraisa, and what you see in the Rambam is that the purpose and the real definition of the Melacha is part of a larger notion of showing that Chol HaMoed is distinct and different than regular weekdays. So the notion of Zilzul HaMoados, that's part of the definition of Issa Melacha, and that could explain why the Chachamim created the various paradigms, even if it's a Doraisa at its core, the Chachamim, the ones who define for us how to frame that Issa Doraisa. So it could be Doraisa, it could be Rabbanan, but what you see in this Yerushalmi is a very important idea that we'll see playing out in many aspects of Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Now, the way that the Machaber begins in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, in Taf Kuf Lamed, so he writes the first words of the Machaber, Chol HaMoed, Asur B'Ktsas Melachos, U'Mutar B'Miktsasem. That's the first thing that hits you when you read Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is Asur some Melachos and Mutar in others. And then you have all the Simanim that follow. So Mishnah Berurah gives us like a Hagdama to get oriented here. What are some of the basic categories in terms of understanding Issa Melacha b'Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnah Berurah identifies five categories. First of all, he says there's what's called Davar HaAved. Davar HaAved means that there'll be monetary loss. If you won't do it now, you'll be losing out of money. Number two, there's Tzarchei HaMoed. Now, Tzarchei HaMoed really has two tiers to it, as we'll see going forward. Tzarchei HaMoed can mean Tzarech Ocho Nefesh. Now, that is the most lenient of all. That doesn't have any caveats. We're going to see Ma'aseh Hedyot versus Ma'aseh Uman. None of that is relevant by Tzarech Ocho Nefesh. When you're talking about Tzarech Ocho Nefesh, then even if it's a Ma'aseh Uman, you could be a chef, the best chef in the world, and you're doing the most professional job, you're cooking for a yantif, that's called Tzarech Ocho Nefesh, that's mutter. When it's not Tzarech Ocho Nefesh, but it's Tzarech HaMoed in other ways, then you have the difference between what's called Ma'aseh Hedyot and Ma'aseh Uman. So we have, number one, Davar HaAved. We have, number two, Tzarech HaMoed, which we said can divide into two. Next we have Bishvil Poel She'en Lo Ma'yochal. If you have a worker who doesn't have what he needs to be able to get by, so then it's permitted for him to do work, and it's also permitted for the employer to hire him to do the work. That's all part of the Heter Poel. And then you have the last category is Tzarchei Rabin. Tzarchei Rabin is another category that if it's for communal needs, then it's Mutter on Moed. We'll get to that hopefully. And then we have the, I guess you could say, Ma'aseh Hedyot, even for a Yachid, that means that Tzarech HaMoed with Ma'aseh Hedyot. So that's what the Mishmur starts us off with. He says, Yisbar Kol Echad Bim Komo, and we'll explain the thing as we go along. Okay, also by way of introduction, and this goes very well with what we said before about how to understand the general approach of Melacha B'Chol Moed, the Gemara makes the following statement on Daf Yud Beis Amid Aleph in Moed Katan regarding Hilchos Chol Moed. It's the Gemara's observation. It says the Gemara that Hilchos Chol Moed, Hilchos Moed ki Hilchos Kusim b'halacha. What does that mean? L'may Hilchosa, Amar Rav Daniel, L'oma she'en akuros ve'en l'meidos zumizu. So Hilchos Moed are ki Hilchos Kusim. Rashi explains by Kusim, so you don't always know what they took seriously, what they didn't take seriously. In many ways they were from, they observed things on the highest levels, the standards were even more than ordinary Jews. But then again, there were things that they sort of ignored. So we know when it comes to Hilchos Kusim, the Gemara says in Chun, Hechad Achzik Achzik, Hechad Lo Achzik Lo Achzik. So you have to look at every situation for itself, and you can't extrapolate from it. Says the Gemara, in a similar way, Hilchos Moed is Hilchos Kusim, L'may Hilchosa She'en Akuros. Rashi explains, what's Akuros? Ki Isha Akara. A woman that's barren, she'in adam imen el pri elogufa. A woman that's barren, there's no tolada, there's no children, it's just the woman herself. Meaning, in a medu zumizu. You see how lacha b'chos chol moed in a given setting. Chazal say, this is aser b'chol moed. Now you want to start saying, ah, let me extrapolate and say, if this is aser, so then, let me medam and milsa l'milsa, that should be aser. Or this is mutter, let me compare this case to that case. No. All you have is what you have. Chazal speak about all kinds of cases, and they have all kinds of cheshbonos, and they'll say, after factoring everything in, it's, you could say like an art more than a science, you know, if you could put it that way. Chazal say, this is aser. After factoring in everything, this is aser. And all you have is that. You can't read too much into it necessarily to go beyond, or in terms of heter. Rashi says, here Rashi's focus on the heter, kach zumu teres. Just like by kusim, we don't say, well, machzik b'hai, machzik b'hai. No, you can't learn out one from the other. This idea is expressed beautifully in the Chinuch when he develops his approach to Hilchos Chol Moed, Shin Chav Gimel. He writes as follows, and he's clearly talking about this Gemara. He says, klau ze yeh b'yadecha. And he compares it to Shvusim on Shabbos. Hilchos Moed ki Hilchos Shvusei Shabbos. She'en lecha ledamos ulehotzi behen davar midavar. You can't extrapolate one case from another. Ki pa'amim timtza l'rabbusenu zochanu bracha matirin melacha kiveda be'in echa. They might permit a heavy melacha, a serious melacha in one matter. U'pa'am yachmiru ala kala be'in acher. And then they might have a chumra regarding a melacha kala. Va'alti tama ala davar. And don't wonder about this with what I told you earlier. Ki ha-Torah lo-asra He goes with the shita that melachas chol moed is doraisa, but the Torah is expecting the chachamim to define and tell us what it is. So that's basically Chazal see fit based on what their considerations were. In a given situation, will be mekel. Another situation will be machmir, and therefore zechar b'ni klauzeh. She'ein donin behen davar midavar. So he compares it to Shavuot Shabbos, and Gemara compares it to Hilchos Kusim, but the idea is the same, that you can't extrapolate. Which makes it very tricky for us, obviously, because even after you hear all the klalim, you know, it's very hard to get your real handle, and that's why there are many machlokas, and even to this day, by contemporary poskim, about all kinds of situations, exactly how do you, how do you put that into what category based on what we see in the klalim of Shas and Poskim. Ad Kedekach, that I saw in one of the Svarim, they say that we have Tainis Bahab after Sukkis and after Pesach. And why do we have Tainis Bahab? Because it could have been Mechsholim that happened over Yontif. What kind of Mechsholim? So I forget where, Mechafachai maybe quotes this from others. The Mechsholim would be specifically in the areas of Chol HaMoed, because it's kemat impossible not to be Nechshol in some problem, Melacha v'Chol HaMoed, but at least we have Tainus Bahav to be Machaper. The Chavetz Chaim brings in the back of Sefer Avas Chesed, a whole list of Anhagos from the Gadol of his time, of Yochanan Voliner. In Os Lamed, he quotes Yochanan Voliner saying that you should almost stop short of doing anything before you act. He says in Shabbos, Yontif, and especially Chol HaMoed, because by default, you should say, it might be Aser. And then you could think twice or three times, and they say, okay, it's mutter. But don't assume the other way around, that it's mutter, because it could very well be us. So I'm just giving you again a framework. Okay, as we begin to look at the various klalim and the details, another very mega issue and meta issue here is the relationship between melacha and tircha. What seems to be clear in many gemaras that discuss Hilchos Chol Moed is the notion of tircha. Chazal, and we'll see why this is correct in light of what we said just before. The notion of tircha is something Chazal saw as anathema to Chol HaMoed. It's antithetical to what we want to promote and what we accomplish, be the Torah. And so, for example, the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan, regarding the case of Mashkin Beis HaShalchin, which is a field that's thirsty, so to speak, it needs to constantly be watered, which is mutter in a certain way, when you don't involve yourself with exerting too much, and other ways would be usr. And the Gemara expresses it as follows, beis on the beis. Bish, it says it regarding Chol HaMoed and regarding Shvius. Says the Gemara, I understand why it might be mutter in certain instances to water beis HaShalchin because of Davar HaAved. So the Gemara says, look, Bish Lama Moed, Bish Lama and Moed, says the Gemara, Mishum Tircho. So the whole problem is based on tircha. The makom say the shor rabbanan. The chachamim say that here we're going to be mekel. So you see, what does it sound in the Gemara? That the issue has to do with tircha. Rashi explains over there, based on the base, the lo asir b'shum melacha el mishum tircha. Ube makom say the shari. The Gemara says in Ches on the base regarding not to get married on Chol HaMoed. One reason is mer torach. Again, there's an issue of tircha. The Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel Med Aleph, discussing the Issa Melacha b'Chol Moed vis-a-vis the Issa Melacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The Gemara's lashon there is Moed Mishum Tirchahu. We'll also see that they're assumed Rabbanan that is specifically based on Tircha, like Pragmatia, doing business, commerce, which is an Issa only Rabbanan for sure, but many explain that it's based on Tircha. The Ravya, one of the Rishonim in Moed Katan Taf Taf Lamed Hei, explains the Gemara that we quoted earlier about Hilchos Moedim Kilchos Kusim, based on the Yerushalmi that we mentioned earlier, Kum Asu El Mishum, the person should eat and drink and learn Torah, and he relates to the notion of Tircha as he explains it. He says as follows, Nira Li, you should have this source as well, Nira Li, the Had Ami Rabbanan, Hilchas Mardos Kilchas Kusin. And what else do we find? Well, Amru, Od Amru, Lo Masarcha HaKosav El Chachamim, Leida, Izem Malach HaSura, Izem Uteres, HaKol Taloi Kidei Sheyisach B'Moed. The purpose of everything is the person should be glad and rejoicing on Yontif. Kidimfarsh bi Yerushalmi, umitoch simcha. The person is expansive and feels simcha. Noach lo will modu lahav in bilchas haregel. He'll be able to apply himself to learning Torah Ukedaminon ena shchina shora lo mitoch atzlus, lo mitoch atzlus, el mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. So if you want to be able to have the experience of spiritual bliss, which comes with Talmud Torah, you have to be b'simcha. So the point of the Yisuri Malacha are very much to allow for that experience of simcha. Says the Rav Yad, therefore, hecha diika tircha yaseira asr. That's why when you have something which is tircha yaseira, Chazal said that's asr. Because what's going to happen? The exertion is going to get you totally exhausted and you'll feel frustrated because you just exerted yourself so much. And what's going to happen? You're going to undermine the simcha that we want to exist. On Yantif, you're not going to be able to apply yourself to the spiritual joy of the Yantif. And on the other hand, why would they matir lasis melacha b'davar ha'aved or b'she'engel malachal? Obviously for the other reasons, because if you're not going to do melacha and you don't have what to eat, you're not going to be b'simcha either. So in that case, to the contrary, having simcha yantif dictates that we should allow you to do a melacha, we should allow you to do davar ha'aved, because you're going to feel so upset otherwise. V'alderachzu hochim kulam. So this is how the Rav Yah expressed it, and many Rishonim as well, that the notion of tircha very much correlates with the larger agenda of creating experience of simcha on Moed. The Ritva and Moikad Yud Gimel Med Aleph, when the Gemara mentions tircha, says the Ritva, Ki tam isa melachos b'moed hu mishum tircha b'shelola ma'ed b'simcha saregel. Therefore, the Chacham will matir tzorach ha-moed, because it would have aved, so that you not be worried about the loss of money, v'nimna misimchas yantif. So it all is in order to be able to frame the yantif, to feel simcha. So if the way to do that is to asa malacha, the asa malacha, the way to do that is to permit certain malachas, that if you didn't permit it, then you wouldn't have simcha, then those are the categories of malacha that would be permitted. Okay. So again, this is all in general terms. When it gets to the specifics, though, here is where it gets much more sticky. For example, what is the relationship between tircha and melacha? In what sense is tircha asr by itself, even if it doesn't involve melacha? And we'll see there clearly does seem to be some of that in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. And in what sense could there be an isr melacha even if there's no tircha, the other end? What about in yonim like muktza, shvusim of Shabbos? What about that for Chol HaMoed? So that's clear. Those in Yonim that are Asar and Shabbos based on Shavuos, or issues of Nimtzo Chefzecha v'Daber Davar, which is part of Hilchos Shabbos, we don't find explicitly on Chol HaMoed, nor do we find Hilchos Muktzah on Chol HaMoed. So all of that is Mutter. Pragmatia, we see, is a separate issue, which is a Drabbana. But what about when you have Tircha without Melacha? So two Tosas that seem to be contradicting each other on this point. Tosas and Yud Beis Amid Beis, Div Maschal Machnis, says the following, Bitzorach Iyun, Itorach Belo Melacha Asir, Kehecha Dasir Pragmatia. So Pragmatia, we said, is Asir Drabanan. Rava says Pragmatia, the Moed is Asir. What about, explained by many, it's because of Tircha, the Tircha that goes into occupying yourself with doing business, commerce on Yantif. What about tircha below melacha? Is that also just like pragmatia's also? Well, come on, b'shmaitin. Tosus quotes daf yud gimel. Amar moed. That's the gemara that differentiates between moed and erev Pesach. Moed mishum tircha below tircha hu. B'shema haynu dafka b'davar shu melacha. The Tosus says that when you talk about isur melacha b'chol moed, so it has to be tircha with melacha, not tircha without melacha. That's the Tosus on yud beis amid beis. However, further on, and if you test some of the Aleph, there's another Tosus. There's Moikatan. In that Tosus, it sounds the other way. Tosus says that Chazal asir tircha even without melacha. Tosus says betoch advarim there, the gam ilo asir mishum melacha ha asrin anafilu tircha derab melacha. So if you look at Rekibe Eger on that Tosus, he sends you to the earlier Tosus, a few dapim earlier. Kibegas says, Ayin Tosus Le'el, Yud Beis and Yud Beis, Div Maschal Machnis. This Tosus, Div Maschal B'Tavet, the top Tosus. So it's hard to know. Now, there are things that, there's no way, two ways about it. Chazal Asim Mishum Tircha. Tosus mentions Pragmatia, but there's something else also. The Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, Amid Aleph, says, Ein Mefanin Mibayis Lebayis. You're not allowed to move from house to house. You're not allowed to even carry kelim from one place to another. Now, we're not talking about melacha. It doesn't seem to be an issue of carrying here. This is born in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Kuf Lamed Hey, the heading of the siman. Shelo lefanos michatzer lechatzer b'chol ha-moed. Let's say you're moving kelim that's not l'tzorach ha-moed. I'll give you a practical example. Let's say you're going away for the last days of Yontif. So you figure, you know, let's take all the Pesach dishes that we've been using until now and we'll put them away before we leave so that we come back after Yontif. We won't have to deal with the Pesach dishes then. So that would be an example of being mefaneh kelim that's not l'tzorach ha-moed. It's not l'tzorach ha-moed. It's just that you want to save yourself the effort later. So we're not talking about davar ha'aveh. You're not going to lose money or anything if you have to deal with it later. So that would be an example of an iser. There's no malacha. You're just carrying the vessels, the kelim down to the basement, wherever it is. I found this in the sefer here, the English sefer, the Psak from Rav Asner. That would be aser. And yet, it's also brought there in the tough Kuf Lamed Hesiv Beis. If you're moving from some other chatzer where you're living to your own chatzer, that's a simcha, that you're living in your own place, so you bring things to your own place. It's a big shayla b'zman hazeh. What about if you're moving? You have a schedule moving, and can you move on Chol HaMoed? So they bring a psak from the Debet Siner that there's so much tirch involved today with moving. One should not move on Chol HaMoed. The Malkum Hefzit Gadol, where you have maybe the possibility of Dav HaAved involved, maybe if you couldn't do it Erev Yontif, maybe that could be Stradim Lahatir. But the Pashtus here, you're talking about Tircha, and that's Aser. That's a clear halacha that Chazal Aser Mishum Tircha. What about, and here's another major issue, what about a malacha that doesn't involve Tircha? If we saw Tircha as very much part and parcel of Hilchas Chol HaMoed, what about carrying, hotzah, where you're carrying and it's not like you're exerting yourself? The Gemara calls hotzah melacha geruah of the lametes melachos. So do you have to make sure every time you go outside where there's no eruv that what's in your pockets is something that's tzorech ha-moed? Do you need to make sure? Let's say you're lighting a match. Let's say you're tying a knot, which is kosher on Shabbos, but it's not a big deal. Let's say you're flicking a light switch. That's not necessarily tzorech that you can identify right now why you put the light on. You just happen to do it. Let's say you talk on the telephone, and it may not be the most important conversation that's called tzorech ha-moed. You can't necessarily define it as tzorech ha-moed. But it's easy enough to talk on the telephone. That's not tircha. So hands-free, right? You don't have to do anything. You're just talking. So this is a major discussion. The Emek Bracha, Rav Pomeranchik, discusses this issue. He quotes a halacha brought in Tav Kuf Mem Siv Beis that you're allowed to remove a mound outside, mutarito gafshushis, even though you're smoothing it over with your feet, which could be a violation of bona b'shabbos, and it's mutter. The Beis Yosef says, even though it's a malacha, but there's no tircha, you don't have to do it with a shinui. So the Emek Bracha says, it sounds like there's no isser without tircha, and he assumes there's no tzorach ha-moed there. That's debatable. One could say that it is a tzorach ha-moed, but he says it's not. So he says, you see that without tircha, there's no isser malacha. But then he points out that we find other things that indicate otherwise. You're not going to be magia even one letter in a Sefer Torah. We'll get to Ksiva later on. So a sofer does professional writing, is not going to be magia a letter in a Sefer Torah. How much effort is involved in magia one letter? Or another case he brings in Tav Kuf Mem Zayin, Rachman al-Islan, if there's a levaya, the minhag was that they would rip out grass from the ground when they were coming back from the Kfuras HaMeis, as a siman in some way for Tchiyas HaMeisim, whatever that siman is, that idea, the omen of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So that's us, not on Chol HaMoed. So after all, what's the big deal? It wasn't so much of Tircha at all. So he wants to say that it depends. If it's a malacha that b'derach klal involves Tircha, like kotzer, so by definition it's a malacha that's associated with Tircha. Such a malacha would be asa Chol HaMoed, even if it's not done in that particular way with the tircha that would come with it. You're not being kotzer a whole field, you're just being kotzer one piece of grass. But that's still going to be asa because it's a malacha of tircha. But if it's a malacha that doesn't necessarily associate, and Ksiva could be the same thing. If he writes a lot, a professional sofer writes a lot, it's going to be tircha, so therefore even one letter is asa. But if what you're doing is not by itself really associated with tircha, that would be mutter. even if it's a malacha. It's a major issue. I could tell you that on the one hand, you know, the Chai Adam seems to be machmir. He says kosher shelo utzarach hamoed would be asur. The Chazon Ish was known to be machmir for hotzah on chol hamoed. If he'd go out, he would make sure that he knew what he was carrying was utzarach hamoed. And from the Bir Halacha Tavkuf Lamid Vav, it sounds like hotzah would be asur chol hamoed. He discusses machamir acha behemta, which is a derivative of hotzah. The animal is carrying. So it sounds like hotzah would for sure be a problem. But then again, there's a Me'iri that says Mefurish in Moed Katan and Daf Yud Ches that there's no Issa Hotzah B'chol HaMoed. Rav Yashiv, I found with Paskins of Ikar Din It's Mutter, but Hamach Metava La Bracha. I also found a Maimar by Rav Shlomo Zalman Grossman, who was a Dayan of B'nei Brak. This appeared in the Sefer Zikar Mevakshei Torah, who has a long arichus in his article, which is entitled Dinei Melachos Kalos B'chol HaMoed. And he discusses, he starts off by talking about telephone and things like this, things which are just things that you do naturally and casually. But you could say there's a malach involved, but there's obviously no tircha involved. So what would you say? So he brings a lot of makoros on this question. It's interesting. He says the following toward the end of his piece. It's a long piece. He says, Alki Nira Lomar, if a person does a malacha that in their mind they're not considered to be doing any malacha, a person just does it casually, just does it many times without thought. You know, it doesn't require any focus. Just something you just do without kavana. That's muta b'chol hamoed. That's not called malacha sasuas b'chol hamoed. Geder malachos b'shabbos v'yantif is malachas yitzira. Whether you thought about it consciously as you're doing it, we're not talking about asik. We're just talking about how much attention do you give to it? Or do you do it just by second nature? So there, the malacha is asur for malacha. However, he writes, Chol hamoed geda malacha hi kavanas malacha v'davar hanechshav eitzav b'nei adam kimalacha. So he says, let's say a person goes outside with a garment that has an extra button, which in terms of hilchos hotzah v'shabbos, they're carrying. But for this person, the issue is not about carrying, it's about, is he doing a malacha? He's not missing, even if hotzah would be an issue, but here he doesn't even realize that there's an extra button there. The halachas of b'me'isha yotza wouldn't apply, even if otsa did apply, you wouldn't apply that to chol hamoed. It's only a malacha on chol hamoed if miskaven lasos davar shechashuv malacha v'lo pe'ulos v'gilos she'adam oseh. He wants to say, possibly compare it to what we find by hilchos avel, the nature of malacha by avel or by hadlakas neiros Chanukah at the time of Zman hadlakas neiros Chanukah, not supposed to engage in malacha. What does malacha there mean? Doesn't mean malacha in the same way that you think about Shabbos and Yontif. It's not a perfect analogy, he says, but it's something similar. And he brings a riot from the language of the Me'iri. The Me'iri writes, when he says that it's what malachas are usser, he writes in the beginning of Moed Katan, ha malachas ha-mutaras bo, either davar ha-aved, or tzorach hamoed, or tzorach irabim, or machmas, says the Me'iri, she'ein hadavar nikra malacha eitzel osehu. Or it's not called a malacha relative to the person doing it, which means what? And he says it again in Daf Yud, something similar. What does it mean? If it's totally, if it's chashe malacha eitzel osehu, so Dayan Grossman says what he means is what we just said. If it's something he just does casually, without real thought or focus, that can be asur chol hamoed. That's quite a saving grace for a lot of situations. Don't know how much to make of this, because he says at the end of the piece, maybe the Me'iri says that because the Me'iri's shita is that malacha b'chol hamoed is drabana. And maybe this entire Torah is only true if you link it to that shita of malacha being drabana. What if malacha b'chol hamoed is d'oraisa? Maybe we have to take a harder line, and we don't know how to paskin necessarily on this. There is a Radvaz, Chelk Beis Tavshin Chav Zayin, that's mashma, that this question of malacha b'li tircha, being asur or not, would depend on this very question. If malacha b'chol hamoed is d'oraisa, then malacha b'li tircha is also asur. Because then you have to define the malacha in terms of what it is, and not necessarily in terms of the tircha involved. If it's only the Rabbanan, then you could argue, like we're saying, b'li tircha would be mutter. But it's not necessarily a perfect tliya either, because you do find Rishonim, like the Shiboy Aleket, who's matya writing a She'elas Shalom letter, which is not necessarily Tzorach HaMoed, but it's just writing a She'elas Shalom, just writing a letter of greeting, because there's no tircha, he says. There's no tircha involved, no problem. And he happens to hold that Malacha B'chol HaMoed is d'oraisa. So it may not necessarily have to link to this question. But again, it's not an issue that I can tell you has been deposkined definitively. I really do see a range of approaches to this, which is a major question. At the end of the day, melacha b'litircha, you know, lighting a match, carrying outside, putting on a light switch. Again, if it's tzorach ha-moed, that's okay. If it's not tzorach ha-moed, was a melacha, but no tircha, but not tzorach ha-moed. You're walking down the street and you just do something, memela, it was a melacha, but you didn't really exert yourself. Question, yeah.
Well, didn't that tzorach ha-moed? I mean, like in the case of like lighting a match and putting a light on, so...
There it's easy to see a tzorach ha-moed. Let's say you just want to have fun, you know, that's not called tzorach ha-moed, just, you know, on off, whatever. You know, you didn't have to do that. Just, so did you do an aveira or not? You went to the switch. So your hand got tired. I don't know, five times up and down, your hand's not tired, right?
So you don't mean like what you would avoid doing on like an actual moed. You mean like tzorach moed being, do you actually have to
eat? Yeah, tzorach moed, right? It's a real purpose, right? Yeah.
But if you have that definition, can you just say that brings you simcha? That's your simplest.
Yeah, but that's stretching. That's stretching tzorach moed quite. More than we would. What? Yeah, you can't. It has to be real purposeful. I don't think that could be necessarily a definition of tzorach ha-moed. I don't think so.
So let's hope that you're staying in the room and you get enough in the light.
Okay, you're putting it on for a reason, yeah. You know, when he frames the question here of Diane Grossman, he says, do you have to check every time you light, put on the light? Do you have to figure out, you know, do I need that light right now? Do I really need it? Anytime you cut paper, you know, anytime, you know, it shouldn't be for naught. It has to be, you have to see the need right there. But it's something which is so effortless. Does that also require tzorach ha-moed? Or just because there's no tircha, that alone means it's not a melacha and chol moed, because there's no tircha. It has to be tircha. Let's talk about tzorach ha-moed again, because it is a very hot topic. What is tzorach ha-moed, and what are the conditions that still need to be present to be matir with tzorach ha-moed? So we alluded to it with the Mishnah Berurah before. There's tzorach ochel nefesh and there's tzorach ha-moed. When it comes to tzorach ha-moed in the broader sense, not tzorach ochel nefesh, so the Mishnayos tell us explicitly that it's only mutter when it's maisa hedyot, not maisa uman. These are various Mishnayos that make this clear. That's one important distinction, that tzorach ha-moed is not matir unless it's maisa hedyot. Another condition is, very often it has to be done b'tzina, not b'farhesia. And that's because not everybody knows that what you're doing is tzorach ha-moed. And again, because a lot of hilchos chol moed is about, if not everything, the appearances, the zilzul that could come out, and also the promoting the atmosphere of chol moed. So if somebody doesn't know that you're doing it tzorach ha-moed, then you have to do it quietly, privately, that otherwise people would misrepresent, and it's not just maris ayin per se. That's what the Chazal koveya in the heter of tzorach ha-moed. They said b'tzina not b'farhesia, and then another important thing is it should not be specifically designed to do it on moed. You could have done it before, and you say it's more convenient to do it on moed. That's usif. That's a big problem, especially by davar aved as well, where you're not allowed to dafka, wait for moed to be relying on that heter of davar aved. So here too, by tzorach hedyot, it's not enough to be tzorach hedyot. It has to be that you were not mechavin melachto lemoed. So let's go one by one. This idea of maisa uman being aser, again, for the Ramban, this is going to be the Rabbanah. Because once it's tzorach hamoed, it's no longer doraisa. Even if otherwise it would be doraisa, so this for the Ramban would certainly only be the Rabbanah. According to others, it's always the Rabbanah anyway. So the Mishnais in Moed Katan have Daf Tesamid Beis. You're talking about sewing, Hat Hedyot Tofer Kedarko, the Uman Machliv. Machliv means you do it in a more of a shabby way when you're sewing, so it doesn't look professional. That's one source. And Mishnah Yud Aleph regarding nets, the reshes, nets of a fish is Maisa Hedyot, but if you're doing netting for a bird, catching a bird, that's called Maisa Uman, it's Usser. If you're making a fence, a mica, you have to do it in a certain can't be a good job. Shabby. Maisa hedyot, not maisa uman. All these cases are tzorach ha-moed, and yet it can't be maisa uman. Major question in poskim even today. How do you define maisa uman versus maisa hedyot? Is it that not every person can do it? You need someone who's more experienced, who's more skilled. So it's about what kind of training that it takes to do it. That's maisa uman. Or is it about appearances? If it has a professional look, even if it really can be done by anybody. Just push a button, and there it is. And it looks professional, but that's a problem if it's professional looking. I don't know, changing a tire on a car. People say it's Maisa Hedyot, right? I don't know. I couldn't know if I could change a tire very well. But what if you bring it to the mechanic? Now, mechanic certainly, you know, you can, he's an expert. You can't even have a guy do the malacha, Maisa Uman. But then you tell the mechanic, assuming it's Sarach HaMoed, and just that, but it has to be Maisa Hedyot. Tell the mechanic, don't do it so well, right? Just do a quick fix, but don't do a perfect job. Shlomo Zalman discusses in the Shmiras Shabbos, how do you tell the mechanic to do the job? If it's just based on Sarach HaMoed, it's got to be Maisa Hedyot. The old question that came back is to be discussed about Polaroid cameras. We don't even know what these are today. We have digital cameras. But the Polaroid cameras would make the picture, and it would come out right away. And Rav Moshe thought that's not called Maisa Uman because, you know, anyone can push the button. And Rav Yaakov thought that it's Maisa Uman because you're producing something. And this is very nogea today. We are with printing on a computer. So, again, if it's Sarach HaMoed, it's not enough to be Matir Sarach HaMoed. It has to be Maisa Hedyot. So the question is, if I want to print something at Sarach HaMoed, can I do it? If I define printing from the computer, the printer, as Maisa Hedyot, then it's permitted. It's only Sarach HaMoed. But if it's Maisa Uman, because after all, you know, it looks print quality, it looks professional. If Yaakov thought Polaroid camera is Maisa Uman, then it would be usser to print on Chol HaMoed from your computer, even though all you did was push the button and it's Sarach HaMoed. Davar Aved, you know, it could be Davar Aved is different. Davar Aved is matter even Maisa Uman. So if it's based on Davar Aved, then you wouldn't have the problem. But if the basis of the heter is simply Sarach HaMoed and not Davar Aved, then you have to know if this is called a Maisa Uman, it would be usher. Question. No, so the screen would be better, because that's not... The poskim will say this, that if you're going to work on Chol HaMoed on the computer, so the best thing to do, the safest thing to do, and to be clear of this controversy, is not to print. Because it's not simple that you should define on the what's on the screen as ksiva. Very, very possibly it's not called ksiva. So therefore, you didn't do ksiva, you didn't do anything. You just put, you know, words on the screen which don't really mean anything. So the problem would be if you printed. I tell my talmidim all the time, if they're doing work, you know, Chol HaMoed, and you consider it to be Sarach HaMoed for whatever reasons, so, and you want to be matter based on that, but at least don't print. Just work, you know, just work on the computer and leave it. And saving could be a discussion, but all right, maybe you can be maker for saving as well. That's a separate issue in terms of saving, what is going on there. But printing could get into this very important machokas, whether you call it Maisa Uman or not.
If a person is going to be speaking on Yom Tov for the last days and they won't remember everything they would want to say at the drasha or the speech, that would constitute Davar Aved? That would be the other answer?
So the answer is, I don't know if that would be Davar Aved. I think the better, I don't know. They use that svara for Chidushi Torah, that you're going to forget the Chidushi Torah, so it's called Davar. The post can do mention it, so I guess based on that, you could extend it here. But if you want to work with Sarach HaMoed, then the other way to go is to write, and you assume that writing, our writing, is not Maisa Uman, and then you have no problem.
So instead of having to my computer that I want to give in the last days.
Right. So I would say, personally, I would say what I did. I'm giving a shiur the last day also, so I went to that computer and I printed that already, my notes. So I even sent the rabbi of the community the handout. They said you might want to print this out before Yom Tov. So this way I avoid the issue. But it's easy enough. Whatever any potential shiur that you might give could be printed out already. Or again, if you have your own notes, you can just write the notes, and then you can get around Maisa Uman that way. Because pashtus is not Maisa Uman when you're writing in your own, you know, casual writing. We'll get the ksiva. Yeah.
Very see the printing theme out of the poskim. The printing or those who not must have lost it before.
I think that the poskim make that comparison. I don't remember who does it, but it would make sense that if you view Polaroid camera like Rav Yaakov Kamenevsky, then you would equate printing today with that. I believe that
the difference between say color and not color. Oh. There could be differences.
Look, you know, they used to have, right, there's inkjet, there's laser jet, there's inkjet, there's the old, you know, I don't know if you're going to start distinguishing. I don't know. I think there's a certain surah that looks good. You know, it doesn't, even if there's something wrong with your toner, right, so then I don't know. Yeah. You have to, obviously. But I think, but here it's not, we're going not so far back. We're going to Polaroid cameras, so it wasn't
the... Okay, then, what's not my question, well, I'm just wondering, what sort of thought process would you have to go through
I mean, you have to quote as you see it. I mean, obviously, the fact that Rabbi Yaakov and Moshe saw the issue very differently. Obviously, one looked at Maisa Uman one way, in terms of the professional look, and the other looked at it in terms of the type of skill involved in doing it. I think that's a very, it's a different perspective. Again, there are a lot of ramifications from this. Again, I'm just touching base very quickly. I mean, all these pratim can themselves be delved into, and I would encourage you, take a look, if you can, look at one of the svarim on Hilchos Chol Moed, take the chapter that deals with Maaseh Hadyut. I'm sure there are things that you could disagree with or question, but I'm sure at least you have to know that the potential shailos that are involved, and I'll tell you who paskins which way and whatever it might be. I do know that it would be preferable not to print from a computer for the reasons that we outlined, as opposed to just leaving it on the screen, which I think would be less of a shaila, and maybe not a shaila at all, like assuming Sarach HaMoed. The other thing we mentioned is Bitsina. So that's the Gemara in Yud Gimel Mebeis. It's actually in the Mishnah. Mochrin Peros Ksus V'Kelem, Mochrin Bitsina L'Tzarach HaMoed. And that's because not everyone knows what you're selling is with Tzarech HaMoed. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch Tavkuf Lamed Gimel. And it says, Kol Malachos, this is the Mechaber Sif Hei there, Kol Malachos Sheheim with Tzarech HaMoed, Kisha Osim Osam Umaneim Osim Bitsina. And it says in Mishnah Bura, this is assuming that we're talking about a Malacha that it's not clear to the person looking that it's what you're doing is with Tzarech HaMoed. And that would be, for example, when you're doing business, and the Issa Schora, which is a separate Issa. So if you're selling something which is perishable, then you don't have to do a Bitsina, because everyone knows it's Tzarech HaMoed, because it's not going to last more than a day or two, and you're selling it Chol Moed, it's obviously for Yantif. But if it's Dover that's Miskayim, it's not perishable, so then it would be required that you do a Bitsina. And the last point is that we said it should not be Mechavim Lachta L'Moed. Again, that could relate to some of these questions as well with the printing. Even if you're printing as Maaseh Hadyut, but if you get stuck, you forgot to do it, that's not called Mechavim Lachta L'Moed. Maaseh, you have to do it. If it's more to the print, then you can print on Yantif, even if you didn't do it before Yantif. It's not about Efshel Lassos or Yefshel Lassos. But if you purposely tell yourself, oh, I'm going to do it on Chol HaMoed because it's for the Shiur on the last day, that's called Mechavim Lachta L'Moed, and then that would be usher even if it were Maaseh Hadyut. So if it was a conscious decision to do it on Moed, that chora would not be allowed. This is all Tzorach HaMoed. That's the broadest Tzorach HaMoed. But now let's narrow the scope. Let's talk about Ochel Nefesh. Now, when it's Ochel Nefesh, that is Mutter B'Moed with whatever caveats we had, but Tzorach HaMoed, they would not exist over here. In other words, you can cook and you can bake, it can be Maisa Uman, it can be Tircha, it can be Mechavim Lachta L'Moed, you're going to be cooking on Moed for the last days. There's no problem on any level. And it doesn't bother us before Hestia and anything. That's the clear halacha of Ochel Nefesh, and that's Tzorach, Ochel Nefesh. There is a discussion about what's called Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, that's a big shaila. In terms of Machshir Ochel Nefesh, that would be Mutter or Aser, if it's Kibin Melachta L'Moed, if you want to, it's not the direct Ochel Nefesh, it's in order to enable, you want to make a tanur in order to be able to bake on Yantif, for Yantif, that may not be as simple. There's another category called Tzorach HaGuf, and this is not Mamish Ochel Nefesh, but it's in certain sense serving you physical needs. So there's a Mishnah, Tzorach HaGuf is Mutter on Moed, even Maisa Uman. And that's the Mishnah and Daf Ches on the days that a woman can prepare her tachshitin on Moed because it's a simcha for her, or it's a neva without it. Osa isha tachshiteha b'moed. What's the basis of this? Sorach haguf. In other words, and it could be maisa uman. So the Ramban and the Ritva learn that kishut haguf has a din of ochel nefesh. That's why even maisa uman is asa. One of the rayas the Ramban has to this is, hopefully we'll get to this, there are gzeros, separate from the melachas, but specific gzeros the Chazal made, that you should not take a shave on Chol HaMoed, you should not do laundry Chol HaMoed, and this has to do with, Chazal wanted to make sure that you do it before Yantif. This is not about melacha, this is a special gzera. There are exceptions for people who were, they were just, you know, they could not have absolutely have done it before Yantif, then they were matir those specific situations. In fact, the Ramban, why do you need a command to a new gzera? After all, it's not, even if it's a maisa uman, which you could assume that it would be, giluach, so then it should be asur based on tzorach hamoed is not matir if it's maisa uman. So what do you need a new gzera for kibus and for giluach? And the answer is that no, it's a tzorach haguf. To the extent that it's a tzorach haguf, that would be, by giluach he's probably, but not kibbutz. So that would be considered to be a heter based on tzorach ochel nefesh, which expands to tzorach haguf. So now this issue is interesting. Let's say, so a couple of cases where, let's say your lock has to be changed on Chol HaMoed in your house. So this is not ochel nefesh directly, but it's close to home. It's tzorach haguf. It's not just tzorach yantif. You could say tzorach haguf. Or you have one bathroom in your house and it's, you know, and it's broken. You need to call a plumber. He's doing maisa uman. You couldn't do it. You need an uman. You know, the job is a maisa uman. It's tircha. Nu. Tzorach haguf. There's only one bathroom. You need a function. You need to have a bathroom. There's a major question among poskim on both sides of this issue. The Eretz Yisrael poskim seem to be much more lenient. What about appointments, doctor appointments on Chol HaMoed? Remember, Tzorach HaMoed does not permit doing something in the sense of Kibin Melachto LaMoed. But Tzorach HaGuf can be done with Kibin Melachto LaMoed. And Ochel Nefesh and Tzorach HaGuf, right, that you can even do and plan to do it on Yantif. So you schedule your dentist visit on Chol HaMoed, or your doctor's physical, whatever it might be. So Rav Moshe is not so quick to be maker. Rav Moshe Ochaim Chel Gimel Ayin Ches, he talks first about the issue of fixing glasses, that's Tzorach HaGuf, that's fine. Sunglasses he's not so sure about. Dentist, he says, it depends. If you have a toothache and it hurts, even a little bit, that would be mutter. But if it's just a routine checkup, Rav Moshe thought it should not be done. He also calls it zozo, even separate from malacha, zozo b'yantif. If you can wait, you should wait. If it's something that, a concern or a condition that's pre-existing that could get worse, that would be mutter. This is Rav Moshe's view. Rav Scheinberg in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Eliashiv, and I think other posts in Eretz Yisrael permit going to a doctor, a dentist, in whatever situation, even without any pre-existing condition or pain or anything. What is their marker? The marker is Sif Beis, Tavkuf Gamed Beis Sif Beis, where it says Refuah Muteres B'Chol HaMoed. Now, what is the context of that sif? It's a tosefta. The Magen Avraham quotes a tosefta. On Shabbos, there's Isur Mabrefuah. You're not going to drink a medical potion that's going to create, you know, some medical benefit because of a gzera of Shchika Samimonim. The Chazal goes, the Refuah B'Shabbos, you might end up grinding spices, and therefore they acid Refuah B'Shabbos. But here, it's mutter, even for Chol HaShem B'Sakana, it's mutter on Chol HaMoed. But what are they assuming? They're assuming that this is more than that. This is a halacha of Tzorach HaGuf. The same way we said the woman can prepare perfume and put it on Chol HaMoed. So if you are attending to your physical body in whatever way, dentist or a doctor, so you can do it on Chol HaMoed. Mechavim Lachto and all that is mutter because it's Tzorach HaGuf. And Rav Moshe obviously didn't see it that way. And I think the Sif in Shulchan Aruch doesn't have to be a makar because that's specific to the inyan of drinking a potion. That doesn't necessarily have to extend to a case of going to a dentist. So I'm not going to tell you what way to go here, but Again, if there's any kind of a condition that's at stake, there's no doubt that it's absolutely mutter. The question is, if it's convenient for you because you're off anyway, and you want to, you might as well get your, you know, your teeth cleaned on Chol HaMoed. So the post-commercial son would say it's okay. That they don't like is just straightening your teeth, something like that, which is just cosmetic. That wouldn't be called Tzor HaGuf. That's just cosmetic in nature. But if it's based on a physical, medical routine, not a cosmetic procedure, that for them would go into Tzor HaGuf, which would be mutter. And apparently Rav Moshe and Rav Shmuel Zalman, I'm not sure if he was also so happy with it. Rav Moshe clearly was not happy. He thought it was a Zilzul HaMoed to do it. So you have to know how to paskin on this question. The issue of Dabar Aved, which is such a major part of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, there are two simanim in Shulchan Aruch on this, Tav Kuf Lamed Zayin, Tav Kuf Lamed Ches. It starts in the beginning of Moed Katan, the case of Beis HaShalchin, which is this, the field that has to be irrigated on a regular basis, so there's a Dabar Aved issue, and there's a Hefsid of Mamon, therefore, if you don't do it. But when it comes to Dabar Aved, we know that Maisa Uman is also Mutter. But the factor that counters Dabar Aved and being Mata Dabar Aved is, number one, Tircha. If the Tircha is very great, then Chazal might not be so quick to be Mata Dabar Aved. And the other factor that counters the Heter Dabar Aved is Mechavein Melachto HaMoed. Those are the two factors that would work against being Mata Dabar Aved. So we have to know, first of all, what Dabar Aved is. But once we establish what it is, we have to know that it's kush, it can be neutralized by the notion of tircha, or the notion of kivin melachta lamoed. So the issue of tircha is as follows. It's really a balancing act. The Ramban puts it very well. He says, you have to weigh the nature of the loss and the nature of the tircha. Not every davar aved is the same as every other davar aved. How much loss are we talking about? We're talking about loss of principle, right? We're not talking about that you will, minyas harevach. We're talking about real loss. Pashtus, the Karen, they say. But how much? So he has to also factor in the nature of the tircha. The Beis HaShalchin Chazal were matir a certain type of tircha and not excessive tircha. That's how they defined it in that particular case. The Ramban's lashon is that in the Shema Raivit, Shia Rubo, Torah Keneged Hefsed, the Hefsed Keneged Torah. The Gemara has a shaila here on Daf Yudbeis. If you have two kelim that you want to that carry wine in it, and one is a larger barrel, one is a small barrel, and you want to insulate it with tar so that the wine won't spill out. So you have an interesting shaila in the Gemara here. On the one hand, if you're going to insulate the larger barrel, you're going to have less potential loss because there's less wine. If you didn't insulate it, you can have a greater loss if it's a bigger barrel because there's more wine in it, but there's also more tircha. If you insulate the smaller barrel, so the whole loss to begin with is not as much, but the tircha is not as much. So the Gemara has a shaila on that. So that's where the Rabban makes this comment about Dabar Aved. It's a Gemara that's really a window into this balancing act, the Dabar Aved tircha versus the nature of the loss and how much of a loss it is.
Does that mean, Lamaisa, that if something is a very big loss, will allow a bigger tircha?
Well, it could be, or it could, you know, that's part of the Gemara suffix. But again, to the extent that the loss is less and the tircha is more, then we're less likely to be matir. So the Mishnah Berurah, like this explains a number of steers in Mishnah Berurah. In one place he says that, Dabar Aved, even a small loss, Dabar Aved. Another case, it's not much of a loss, so don't do it. Don't head to Dabar Aved. What do you mean? Even a small loss is enough. The answer is the other case in Mishnah Berurah was a case where the tircha wasn't so great. And here the tircha was greater. So even the Mishnah Berurah is playing with the same balance regarding this. So this is, Dabar Aved is very relevant. For example, first of all, the Mishnayos tell us, if you started it, you can finish it. But a person has to go to work. So that's the question. If you don't go into work for a couple of days, you're going to lose your parnassa. They might not, it can affect your parnassa afterwards. So that's a clear example of Dabar Aved being matir, person to do malacha and chol HaMoed. But this is a very big topic, a very vast topic, but we don't have time to totally go through it. Prakmatya. Now we go to the Yisum Rabbanim. The Gemara in the Yudim and Beis, Rava made a statement. Prakmatya is asr. why is pragmatia commerce? Why is it usur? And again, Dava Ovid would be matir. Ochon Nefesh would be matir. Bitsina, and even when it's mutter, the case it's mutter, it has to be bitsina. Now, what's the basis for the isur pragmatia? So many explain, the Magen Avraham, I think, brings this, Torah. Mishnah Berurah quotes Mishnah Torah. Here's an example of Tircha being the basis for the isur. There's other Rishonim that say the Beis Yosef quotes Mishum Zer Shema Yichtov, another possible reason. The Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand. Nimso Chefzecha is Mutter on Moed, only on Shabbos. So why is it Aser? He says, along the lines of the Yerushalmi. Chazal took that idea that lies behind Melacha, and they said, we don't want pragmatic to be done on Chol Moed because we want people to be involved with spiritual endeavors, to be able to turn their heart and their focus to spiritual endeavors. If we're going to permit commerce, that's going to take away the atmosphere of Chol HaMoed. Now the question becomes, selling something that's Letzorech HaMoed, that's obviously mutter. That's clearly mutter. Maybe Bitsina, that's why you see stores. If people don't know what you're selling, so the stores do something which shows a hecker in some way. If it's a store that's facing Rishus HaRabim, so they should leave a gate partly closed, partly open. If it doesn't face Rishus HaRabim, you don't have to do it. But if it's a public thoroughfare, then you do something. You've probably seen this with stores in Chol Moed that are selling things that could potentially not be Tzorech HaMoed. That's the issue of relating to when it's mutter, so you still have to do something to show that it's different. Shaila is, let's say stores do business, whatever they sell, what's the heter? Marcus Pragmatia is Aser. So the one heter that's been thrown out there is Dabar Ha'aved. How so? Because if you close your shop for the few days of Chol Moed, then you're going to lose your customers forever. That's Dabar Ha'aved. If you accept that logic, that could be a possible heter for people who open their stores who are not selling Tzorech Ha'aved stuff necessarily, but they're opening their business to sell things on Chol Moed is clearly Isur Pragmatia, but Davar Ovid is Mutter. So if you can imagine that the loss of customers is going to result from not having a store open, that could be viewed as Davar Ovid. This is no gaya, for example, you go on a website, you want to order something online, not Letzorech HaMoed. So clearly should be us. The only way it would be Mutter if you don't put your credit card on. If you just make an order, and they'll bill you for it, that maybe could be mutter, because you're not buying. You're just telling them to ship it to you, and you're buying it when you get it. You can send them the check or call them with the credit card then. That maybe could be mutter, I would imagine. You could check it, but I could hear that. But if you're mamish paying for the item online, and you place the order Chol HaMoed, I think that's mamish a violation of pragmatia. You can't do that on Chol HaMoed. Yeah? So this is where Davar Ovid has an important caveat. Yes, that could definitely make a big difference. That's where, if you have a situation where you would not be able to get it for the same price afterwards, there's a heter of pragmatia or Davar Ovid. What?
On eBay, everything is, you never know. If you don't buy it,
you
now,
never know. Okay, I hear. I'm not passing, but I hear the studying. Okay, but maybe you can get it. Someone else is going to have it on eBay next week, you know. Not necessarily. Everything is one of a kind. Yeah, okay. So there could be, that would be the one possible leniency. Like you have to know how to apply it. But yeah, correct. Those cases where it's shayara, the Gemara is, if it's going to become, the time is going to pass, you're not going to have the opportunity to come back, that goes into the other, which would be mati pragmati, the same way it's mati malacha, it's mati pragmati. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I hear what you're saying. If it's a sale, then you have that to rely on. If it's not,
he didn't buy his wife something for Shabbos.
Tzorech HaMoed is different. No, if you're buying a jewelry for Yantif, say to Gamur, that may be okay. That Tzorech HaMoed, maybe that would be what? Mitzvah. Yeah, could be. That would be over. You know. Yeah. But anyway, talking commerce, we're talking with the buyer, the seller, all of that. Quickly, Tzarchei Rabim, Tafkuf Mem Dalid. The Mishnah tells us that you can do all kinds of tikkunim for the public on Chol HaMoed. What kinds of things? Fixing the streets, fixing the pits, the potholes, pothole repair, the Beis HaKfaros. The Bishami adds other things like Maisa Beis Din, Hashkas Sota, Rifas Egla. The basis of this is that if there isn't one person in charge, then everyone relies on everybody else, and nothing ever gets done. And therefore, people are available. Now is the time to do it now. But the Ramah brings in Siv Beis and Taf Kuf Mem Dalet. Again, the question is, what kinds of Tzorchei Rabim are we matter carte blanche, and what types of Tzorchei Rabim have to be Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Uman? So he says as follows, the Ramah. Tzorchei Rabim that are needed for Tzorchim of the Gufa Adam, that's Mutter, whatever shape or form, even Maisa Uman. But Shar Tzorchei Rabim, like building a shul, or even Tzorchei Mitzvah, but if it's not Tzorcha Moed per se, then he says, Maisa Uman is Aser. Only Maisa Hedyot is Mutter. If it's a Tzorach HaMoed, then even Maisa Uman is Mutter. Tzorach Rabim. So it comes out that you need for it to be Mutter, Maisa Uman. Tzorach Rabim is a Heter. But to be Mater, even Maisa Uman for Tzorach Rabim, it has to be Tzorach HaMoed itself.
Includes the Dvar Mitzvah.
Even Dvar Mitzvah, the Ramah would not be Mater if it's not for the Moed. That's what the Ramah says there. Siv Beis. If it's not for the Moed, so, for example, if you have the path on the way to the shul is bumpy, and forget about sakana. Let's say not sakana, but it's just it's not paved well, whatever. So that's a tzorach rabim. That's on yontif. You know, again, people are coming to shul every day. People come to shul the last day of yontif. That you could bring a professional company to fix the road to the shul, because that's my su'uman, true, but it's also tzorach rabim, tzorach hamoed. But if it's for something that's after yontif, then it would only be Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Uman, according to the Ramah there. Ksiva B'chol Moed is a whole siman, Tav Kuf Mem Hei. So basically, the guidelines are similar to what we've been saying. Tzorach HaMoed should be Mutter, Maisa Hedyot, but not Maisa Uman. The question becomes, how do you define Ksiva? Is Ksiva considered Maisa Uman or Maisa Hedyot? The pashtus is some want to differentiate Ksav Ashuris versus Ksav Meshita. Some want to differentiate between a sofer, which is a calligraphic type of a writing, or writing that you and I would write. The more that you put your focus on making it look so perfect in terms of how it looks like a calligraphy, then you're dealing with Maisa Uman. If you're writing like a doctor writes a prescription, that would be example of writing Maisa Hedyot. And then of course, Tzorach HaMoed would be Mater Maisa Hedyot. Not Tzorach HaMoed, you shouldn't write. The same guidelines as we've been dealing until now. Stam is like to write is not. Now, the issue of, we had this case of writing a letter, which could be interesting because that was a heter based on no tircha. But in Pashtus, it sounds like Siva is Aser, unless it's Tzorach HaMoed. And the question of Maisa Uman and Maisa Hedyot is relevant to know whether writing is considered to be Maisa Uman or not. We assume generally that it's considered Maisa Hedyot, not Maisa Uman. Some people have a minute to write with it. With a Shinoi, Al Kopanim, that's a whole siman of Shulchan Aruch about Siva. Tavkuf Mem Gimel talks about Amira La'akum, even Melachai De'goy is Aser. Very quickly, those gzeros that we talked about, Giluach, shaving, cutting nails, laundry. Separate gzera that Chazal made that you not go into Yontif looking unkempt. They were matter for special cases, which are identified in the Mishnah. Rabbeinu Tam had a chiddush, which was not accepted by the Torah and the Poskim. Rabbeinu Tam said that if you shaved Erev Yontif, so then you could definitely shave on Yontif, because the whole purpose of the gzera was that you're going to come into Yontif not having shaved. So the Torah didn't accept it. The Node of Yehuda wanted to rely on Rabbeinu Tam in certain cases, and others disagree. Rav Moshe says that Me'ikar Hadin, he says, since today we do shave more regularly, people shave every day or every other day, so everyone knows that you shaved already. So Rav Moshe says, in Mitzdayer B'yoser, he writes, he says, one could have to be lenient and shave Chol HaMoed, in Mitzdayer B'yoser. He didn't want to be Matir straight out, but he gave grounds to be Matir. They bring from the Rav of Shechter, has this Nefesh HaRav, that went a step beyond Rav Moshe and says that Bisman HaZeh, not only is it Mutter, but if it's Mutter, one should do it, L'kavod Yontif. Most poskim, however, don't accept that psak of the Rav, which is why, based on the halachas, we don't shave Chol HaMoed. But the Rav thought that not only should you, not only may you, you should, but Moshe seemed to allow Me'ikar HaDin also, even though he didn't want to be Matir, unless it's someone who mamish needs it for a very strong reason. Cutting nails is a shayla, machokis is a shochach ramah, based on Mishnayis. Laundry, same type of concern. There are certain heterim, specific heterim, in certain cases of what would be mutter if you have only one garment, but Shining shoes is a discussion. Rav Yaakov thought it was Maisa Uman, Lishitaso maybe, I don't know. Polaroid cameras, he thought Maisa Uman, and the Shushan looks very professional. And I think Rav David Yosef thought that Shushans are fine. Tefillin Lechol Moed we touched on before. The only thing I'll add to that is the Losis Godidu issue, which is very interesting that you see sometimes in the same minyan, Yesh V'Yesh, and could be today we don't have that same sense of Kehila, so we may not have to deal with Losis Godidu. I imagine Rabbi Simon in his recent Sefer touches on this. Minhagim B'Halacha, there are shuls that try to be makdish to have people who are doing different than whatever the mainstream is to be in the Ezras Nashim until after Hallel, or until before Hallel. And other shows are not makfid, whatever it is. But that's the Tefillin Lechol Moed. Everyone should have a Chag Kashrus Sameach.
We'll dive in up here.
Okay.